So now, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Study Guide 1, Anuchedas 1 through 26. So contents, introduction to Sandarbha, to the Bhagavat Sandarbha, then flow of the Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, introduction to the three aspects of Tattva. So Adhikarana 1, Anuchedas 1 through 3, definitions of the three aspects of one Tattva. Adhikarana 2, Anuchedas 4 through 7, qualifications for a manifestation of Brahman and Bhagavan. Adhyayana 2, the form of the Lord arises from his own Sarup. Adhikarana 1, Anucheda 8, description of the form of Bhagavan. Adhikarana 2, Anuchedas 9 through 14, Shaktis naturally coexist with Brahman. And Adhikarana 3, Anuchedas 15 through 26, functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis. How many adhyayas are there?
Four,
okay.
Not adhyaya 1, but and 4.
Okay, so they get bigger. So introduction to Bhagavat Sandarbha. Srila Prabhupada, while introducing the six Sandarbhas in Chaitanya Charitamrita, presents the following about Bhagavat Sandarbha. The second Sandarbha, called Bhagavat Sandarbha, draws a distinction between impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma, and describes the spiritual world and the domination of the mode of goodness, devoid of contamination by the other two material modes. In other words, there's a vivid description of the transcendental position known, I guess, as Shuddhasattva. Material goodness is apt to be contaminated by the other two material qualities, ignorance and passion. But when one is situated in Shuddhasattva position, there's no chance for such contamination. It is spiritual platform of pure goodness. The potency of the Supreme Lord and the living entity is also described, and there's the description of the inconceivable energies and varieties of energy of the Lord. The potencies of the Lord are divided into categories: internal, external, personal, marginal, and so on. There are also discussions of the eternality of deity worship, the omnipotence of the deity, and his all-pervasiveness, his giving shelter to everyone, his subtle and gross potencies, his personal manifestations, his expression of form, qualities, and pastimes, his transcendental position, and his complete form. It is also stated that everything pertaining to the Absolute has the same potency, that the spiritual world, the associates in the spiritual world, and the threefold energies of the Lord in the spiritual world are all transcendental. There are further discussions concerning the difference between the impersonal Brahman and the personality of Godhead, the fullness of the personality of Godhead, the objective of all Vedic knowledge, the personal potencies of the Lord, and the personality of Godhead as the original author of Vedic knowledge. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 143 purport. Right, so you're establishing then this point of how Brahman is there and how everything's based on Brahman, but that's based on Krishna. So again, you're saying you're going back to that position as Krishna is the shelter of everything. So he's also the shelter for Brahman and Paramatma, not just the other aspects.
Yes. Regarding the potencies of the Lord, there is internal, external, personal, marginal. This personal is personal.
Means there's the internal, because that's the whole spiritual world, but then there's the personal, what is his pastimes in Braj. Okay. Yeah. Flow of the Bhagavat Sandarbha. After establishing Srimad Bhagavatam as the highest pramana and also defining the three features of absolute truth in a general way in the Tattva Sandarbha, now in the second Sandarbha called Bhagavat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami establishes Bhagavan as the complete manifestation of the absolute truth, whereas Brahman and Paramatma as his partial manifestations. First, Jiva Goswami introduces the subject by defining the three aspects of the absolute truth and the qualifications required for their manifestations. Right? So then, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And then what's the qualification of the individual to appreciate that? Right? Then he elaborates that Bhagavan's form arises from his own spiritual potency in order to oust the misconception propagated by Advaitavadis that Bhagavan, Saguna Brahman, is under the spell of material energy. After establishing the transcendental status of the Lord's form, Jiva Goswami further elaborates on the powers and opulences of Bhagavan's various incarnations. such as the guna avatars, lila avatars, etc., in order to show that his form is untouched by the faults of Maya, even though he appears in the material world. Having thoroughly discussed the nature and attributes of Bhagavan, Sri Jiva finally draws a comparative analysis on Brahman and Bhagavan, features of the Lord, features of absolute truth, in order to irrefutably establish the superiority of Bhagavan. So he's already established it, but he goes through it again just to make sure. Right? Because we tend to be a bit stubborn. Okay. Overview of Adhyayas. Adhyaya 1. Introduction to the three aspects of Tattva. Adhikarana 1. Definitions of the three aspects of one Tattva. Adhikarana 2. Qualifications for manifestations of Brahman and Bhagavan. Adhyaya 2. The form of the Lord arises from his own sarup. Adhikarana 1. Description of the form of Bhagavan. Adhikarana 2. Shaktis naturally coexist within Brahman. Adhikarana 3. Functions of the chit and achit potencies of the Lord. Adhyaya 3. Because you're also establishing, right? We see it in the Tattva, you're establishing for these others. But it's also in here, you're establishing the position, but because it's, you're dealing with one non-dual entity, also other things will be established. So then things for Paramatma, Sandarbha, will be already established here. Adhikarana 1. Then Adhyayana 3, further analysis of the transcendental nature of the Lord's form and paraphernalia. Adhikarana 1, perfect nature of the Lord's form. 2. Bhagavan's limited, medium-sized form is the source of all forms. It means everything's coming from his form in Braja. 3. Lord's form is beyond the transformations of the material world. And 4. Lord's paraphernalia is also eternal. Right? So he's eternal. His dham, his paraphernalia, his associates, everything is eternal. 4. Superiority of Bhagavan established. Adhyayana 4, excuse me. So Adhikarana 1. Brahman is incomplete manifestation, whereas Bhagavan is complete. 2. Brahman is a step towards bhakti of the Supreme Lord. 3. Bhagavan is described as superior to Brahman by enumeration. Adhikarana 4. Bhagavan is the chief meaning of the word Brahman. Right? Because Brahman was all these. So we also mean living entities. Sometimes it was Brahman, the material energy, as Brahman, because his energies are the Lord. Then Brahman, as the Brahma Jyotir is Brahman, Paramatma is Brahman, Bhagavan is Brahman. So Bhagavan is Brahman is the highest truth. Right? That's the highest meaning. Adhikarana 5. Shrutis indicate Bhagavan as the highest truth. 6. Lakshmi, the manifestation of his Sarup Shakti, exists with predominance of Shaktis. Adhikarana 7. Only the devotees following the process of bhakti can realize the Lord. So only by devotional service can you understand Bhagavan. And only if you understand Bhagavan, then these others fall into place. So it has to be seen together. You can't, you won't be able to study Brahman on its own or Paramatma on its own. Right? Because just like, let's say, if we are putting together a list, we'll tend to separate them completely. Oh, this is about that, it goes here. But we're not distinguishing whether we're talking Sambandhavideya Prayojana, the topic, or, you know, what we're doing.
That would correlate with this, the 10 topics that we discussed. That's what Jiva Goswami is going against. That people try to allocate the topic to a particular...
Yes, because they'll just see something and then by their own mind. It's just like, let's say, for example, remember 73, we first started doing deity worship. Then you, let's say you're offering the item, the lamp or something. Then you're going to purify the lamp, you're going to pick it up, you're going to get the blessings of the acharyas, so you're going to show it to the pictures of Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Sarat like this. And depending on how many pictures you have, you might have the 6 Goswamis or not, but you're going to go through that. Then, you know, you're going to take the blessings of Rinder or Lord Chaitanya, or it depends on what's on your altar. Like that, then you're going to offer it to what your deity. So for us, then it was the Panchatattva, right? So you have the picture there, and you're worshipping the picture. Having done that, now, the remnants of that, now you worship the others, right, with that. And so they become part of the Lord, because they're non-different. And so then again you'll come, and you go down through that, and you'll show it to the devotees, and you'll, you know, Tulsi, like this. And then you'll put it down. Now it goes out, the devotees, then they take the prasad. Because that first offering to them wasn't that, now it becomes their prashad. They're being worshipped in context that they're jivas and servitors of the Lord. So the Lord's complete with his energies, like Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Right? And so then, okay, you have to think about it, you have to be a little careful about it and understand the right way. And so then, and that was established, that's what you did, that's what we learned, and I didn't meet anybody at the time that had a different opinion. Right? That's just how it was. Like that. Then devotees start to try to get into the technical stuff, you know, they go pick up a few things from other sampradayas and all this kind of jazz. And so then they come along with, okay, because in the other sampradayas, they don't do their purvanga karma in the deity room. They do it in another room before you start. So they sit down, do their achman worship, guru worship, you know, gauranga worship, whatever it is that they're doing before they start the worship. All these things. So when they go in, they pick up the lamp offered to the Lord. Right? Now, so that'll create one problem. And the second problem, that's even above these people's, distortion to appreciate, that you're worshiping everybody else as part of that, because that's what the 16th item is. It's the Lord, his paraphernalia, his associates, his weapons, his everything like that. So that's not being caught at all. But it does get thrown into the mix. Now, because of this, because they are not understanding what is Pancharatra, they're simply seeing the externals as the main thing, then they look at our worship, right? And as we discussed before, is that if you use the, you know, non-Vedic intellectual approach, then you have to find fault. It's just that otherwise you're not doing a good job as a scholar. And so then it's find faults. Oh, we're taking this and offering it to the, you know, he says, why are you doing this? And so then it's, we're offering it to the parampara, then offering to Krishna. There's, how can you offer to them before you've offered to Krishna? And then everyone would go, oh yeah, you're right. Right? That's the material intelligence. That's why we don't use systems other than formulas, other than ones given by the acharyas. So, instead of explaining, no, you're approaching through, because everybody knows you have to go through the parampara, it's via media, you don't put anything in, you don't take anything out. That means, even if you were saying you're offering to them, they don't take anything out for themselves. So you're offering to them, and then they'll, in their service, then take it to the next, till it gets to Krishna. But this is not explained, just the external thing of the mind, that it makes sense, so we go, oh, so therefore, if you're offering it to them, you can't, so therefore you should just do it and pick it up and offer it to Krishna. And then someone else came up with the thing is, oh, but why, you know, the devotees didn't come there to be offered, so why are you offering to devotees? So in this way, the whole Pancharatric thing just falls apart because we mentally speculate. But the point is Pancharatra, you know, being a form of Dharma, then is simply a practical manifestation of the philosophy that we've all learned. So it's just a way to apply it, a way to interact with the Lord. So that's what we're talking about, is that we try to be very careful about that. Otherwise, in our mind, it makes a lot of sense. But in reality, the acharyas, it doesn't make any sense at all. So that's why we're very, very careful on these things. So even though it's hard, it's difficult, you know, it may take years and years and years to relate to it, but when you do relate to it, then it's solid. Is that okay? Yeah, so therefore then so much is attempt is made to show these differences, show how things connect and everything like that, so we always have to be able to see it in that capacity. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.